So I'm here. Thank you first to Bill and Whit for giving this opportunity. I appreciate it to talk to the congregation here. Anybody ever ask you this question? Is this glass half full or half empty? Okay. At one point in time, we've all kind of fallen into one of those categories in life, whether you see things that are half full or whether you see things that are half empty. What we're going to do tonight is examine that from a Christian's point of view. How do you see your Christian life? Do you see it as half full or do you see it as half empty? And that attitude that you choose is very important. This is tough for me to do, but I'm going to do it. We're going to look at the pessimistic point of view of a Christian's life. So I'm going to be playing a little role here and you guys just follow along with me, okay? So you've been baptized. This is great. Okay, you're a Christian now. You're following Christ, or maybe you're thinking about following Christ. Here's the first thing that some people get in their minds. Bring on the gifts. Bring on the showering of gifts. That's what being a Christian's about, right? Bring on the money. I'm well taken care of now, right? Bring on my car. I get a new car with this, right? Bring on my truck. That's what I want, a truck. Okay, bring on my trucks full of money. You just bring it to me like that. Let's look at what God's Word gives us as an example. Turn to Acts 27 with me, if you will. Acts chapter 27. We're going to be starting in verse 27 through 33. Acts 27, starting in verse 27. Now when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, this is Paul, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law, and this place, and furthermore has also brought griefs into the temple and has defiled this holy place." And all the city was disturbed, and the people ran together, seized Paul, and dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. Now as they were seeking to kill him, I'm going to repeat that. They were seeking to kill him. News came to the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Pessimistic point of view. Glass is half empty. They were beating him? I didn't sign up for that. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to get beat. I don't want to get beat. I'm a Christian, right? That shouldn't happen. I mean, he's a Christian. Paul's a Christian. I'm a Christian. That shouldn't happen. In this country, you have a better chance of not than that happening to you. But in a very large portion of the world, that is not the case. There are Christians all around this world today facing the same persecution Paul faced in his time. To death, being beat. We're blessed to live in the country that we live in, so that doesn't happen to us. And not that it doesn't happen in this country. It just happens a lot less, and you hear about it a lot less. Well, I can get over that. Okay, I can get over this whole persecution thing. You know, I live in the U.S., so I'm not going to get beat. So, I guess I can deal with that. Okay, well, how about time? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 reads three very simple words. I'll read them here for you. Pray without ceasing. Hebrews 3:13 reads, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And Hebrews 10:24 and 25 reads this, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Whoa, 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 whoa. This sounds like it's going to cut into me time. This whole Christian life just, this is taken away from Tim time. I can't have that. I can't be having that. Pardon my bad grammar. Pray without ceasing? Exhort one another daily? Don't forsake the assemblies. That's when you guys get together to study God's Word, right? I mean, y'all are here like every Sunday. Two times on Sunday, once on Wednesdays. That's just here. Well, Maybe I can get used to having to do that. I mean, I like y'all here. You know, I mean, I've been here. And so, I mean, I can give y'all 4 hours a week. Y'all are nice. Y'all been nice to me. I mean, y'all don't have a gym or anything, but I can do it. You know, gets plowed outside. I don't have to worry about that. So maybe that's a plus. Well, you know, persecution. You know, I live in the U.S. and you know, I can give y'all my 4 or 5 hours a week, but you know, at least I don't have to feel guilty anymore about my sins every day, right? Well, in studying the following, you'll find a couple things that might oppose that. Hebrews 9:27 reads, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, judgment." Judgment. I'm a Christian. I'm not going to get judged. Yeah, you will. Well, I thought, you know, that's what the good book says. You don't judge people. You don't judge. You won't. I'm a Christian. I'm not going to get judged. That's what the day is about. The day is approaching. The judgment is approaching. God will judge you. Oh, but I'm not guilty. All right, so judgment's here, but I'm a Christian, so I'm not guilty. That's the way it works, right? Romans 3:2 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What this does is that it puts us in the guilty tank. We're all in it together, having a good time in the guilty tank. Well, what does God want from me? You know, all this persecution, all this time, all this guilt that I'm carrying, what does He want from me? If that's the case, what does God want from me? He wants you to be like His Son. You mean Christ? Yep. Wait, this is the Son of God that walked the earth for a little over 30 years, right? Sinless for 30 years. That's who He wants me to be like? The one that's not in the guilty tank? Is that what you're telling me? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Oh, He also wants you to be an example to others. Wait. So you mean others are going to look at me different? Yep. You mean I'm going to be put under a microscope for all my little faults? You know, because I never used to get that. You know, just because I believe God died for my sins on a cross, I'm going to get put under a microscope for that? Yep, probably. You mean to tell me that others can stumble because of what I do? Others may lose their faith because of things that I do? Yep. That's a lot of responsibility. And you know, Tim, you're making me think twice about this Christian thing, man. You're making me think twice about becoming a Christian. Man, I didn't sign up for all this. That was the glass half empty. Okay? Let's look at it half full. We're going to go over the same things. You ready for your gifts? Yeah? Everybody, yeah? Ready? Okay. Galatians 5 lists these out pretty clearly for us. Turn to Galatians 5. Please. In Galatians 5, you'll have to search for yourself here. You'll see that we get a little bit of love, joy, peace, patience, we get kindness, we get goodness, and we get faithfulness. All things money can't buy is what the Spirit gives to us. Ah, fruits of the Spirit. I love it. Absolutely love it. Oh, so if I pick up my cross and I follow Christ, then these are the qualities that I'll possess. Mm-hmm, you will. If you continue to live in the Spirit and you continue to walk in the Spirit. Oh. Well, Tim, this persecution thing, I mean, I heard that before, and that's, you know, that's still scaring me a little bit. You know, can you shed some light on that? Sure will. So turn to Luke 6 with me, please. We'll see what Christ has taught us about persecution. In Luke 6, Christ says, "But I say to you who hear, JR, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. From him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, don't ask for them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you do to them likewise. The Lord let us know that Paul would suffer for his sake. In the book of Acts 9, when he spoke to Ananias, he said, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine." He's talking to Ananias when he was going to see Paul. He says, "He will bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." It's evident. It's not a surprise. It will happen. To what degree? I don't know. But it will. Babes in Christ, young in the faith, people, listen up. Don't let that get you down. Do not let that get you off track of you know where you want to go. You know the person you want to be in Christ, and just keep doing it. You want to see what Paul did? Let's look at what Paul did. Turn to Acts 16 with me, if you would, please. I will give you a keynote here. This is not the only time Paul was persecuted. This is one of many. Acts 16, and we're going to start in verse 16. Acts 16, beginning in verse 16, reads this. "Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And she did this for many days." Now I'm going to stop here, and you guys have probably already read the next verse. But could you imagine somebody in your face for a couple days, even though she's saying it is true and it's great, but these are the ones, I mean, she's right there with them. Here's what Paul says next. Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." He has that authority given to him by Christ. "And he came out that very hour." Here's the key. "But when the masters saw that their hope of profit was gone and their fortune teller, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach us customs that are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe.' Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them and threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely, having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, and so the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household." Paul responds to being stripped naked and beaten with rods in that same hour of the night by singing hymns and praying to God. Amen to that. And here's another note, and I think I heard this from Ralph Walker. I was listening to a sermon online. It got me thinking, how many of us would have the gust in us to do that after something like that happens? That's number one. Two, would you know a hymn to sing? I mean, would you be in the prison and be like, "I would really love to sing, but I don't have my hymnal"? I mean, I remember the page number. It was 498, but I don't know the tune. That's something I'm trying to work on. I can encourage everybody to do the same. That's a little sidetrack. Sorry. Even after a way of escape was made, this is what I love the best. The Lord makes a way of escape. They made out like bandits, right? Took off. I'm out of here. Got to get some clothes. Nope. They stayed. They preached the gospel to a man that needed to be saved by Christ. That was their job, and that's what they did. That is amazing. Paul's glass, half full. Paul's glass is half full. Well, Tim, I still have this guilt, you know. I still have all this guilt that I'm carrying. What can I do about that? Turn to 1 John and in chapter... I don't have it written down here. Turn to 1 John, and beginning in verse 9, I believe it's in chapter 1. The Holy Spirit writes this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. Oh, that makes sense. Tim, that makes sense now. God doesn't want us to be proud. Oh, that I can understand. So if we confess our guilt, oh, that's the only way I get rid of it. I don't have to carry it all around with me. Oh, I get it now. Yeah, that's right. The only way you get rid of your guilt is by confessing your guilt. You can't put it anywhere else but up there. You can't put it anywhere else but with the Lord. That's it. It does take honesty. It takes a lot of honesty. James 4:6 tells us that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Don't be proud of your sins. Don't feel as if it's not a big deal. Glass is now half empty. My sins aren't that bad. I mean, come on. God will forgive me. That's what He says, right? He says He'll forgive me of my sins if I'm a Christian. That's what He says. He owes that to me. I mean, come on. I'm better than everybody. I'm better than a lot of people out here, right? He'll forgive me of those sins. You see the difference between the glass being half full and the glass being half empty? You see the difference in the attitude that you choose? The example to others is a very simple idea. We'll finish up with this. It is very simple. Some people make it so complicated. What can I do? What can I can't do? That's not the attitude to have. Who in here has an older brother or sister? Raise your hands, please. Okay. Nobody with older brothers or sisters. Who here has a father or mother, for those of you who don't have older brothers and sisters, that you look up to as an example? Okay, aunts and uncles. If somebody didn't raise their hand, you come see me after services, and I'll be your friend, and we can talk, and you, hopefully I'll be an example. But if you didn't raise your hand, just play along with me. I have three older brothers, and when I was 5, my second oldest brother, Adam, was 12. And I'm just, man, he's twice my age. He's so old, and he's so tall, and he's just so great. Man, and my brother Adam would just, all my brothers were great, but my brother Adam would just, build forts for me and take me here and take me there and taught me how to ride a bicycle. And if I broke my leg, he was the first one there to pick me up and make fun of me and everything. You know, but here's the example portion. You know, when I was 5 and my brother was 12, the first time I saw him do something wrong that I knew was wrong, it killed me. It absolutely tore me down. Because I'm 5 and I don't know any better. But this, you're Superman. You're everything, man. I mean, how could you do that? I mean, how you, Adam. My brother Adam's a great guy, and I'm not picking on him. I'm probably going to send him this. He was 12. He couldn't help it. But that's what I'm getting at. Here's the difference, is that we represent Christ. We represent God. So when I knew that it killed me for what my brother did, how do you think people see us? If they know we represent Christ, what's going to happen when they see us not behaving as Christians? Oh, man. How could that guy, how could he do that? I mean, he's a Christian. Oh, Tim, I get it now. I get it. Yeah, I get it. People will see us and they're going to expect more, right? Yep. So we're gonna kind of need to be on our best every single day, because you never know who's looking, who's searching, right? Yep, that's it. You got it. Oh, and if I don't, it could be a really big deal, right? Yep, sure can. Question for you tonight. How will you represent Christ? How will you look at your Christian life? Will it be half full or will it be half empty? Your attitude, you can choose that. That is straight from John Slav. Melissa's stepfather told me that, and I just stuck with it. You choose your attitude. And as a Christian, you have to do it to keep going. It's part of renewing your mind. You have to choose the attitude you're going to put on every single day. Love God more than you did the day before. Keep running your race. Study the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Be honest with God. Be honest with yourself. You can fool yourself. You cannot fool God. Be honest with yourself. If we can help assist you in any way on getting back on track, studying. If you want to go ahead and get started today, you want to put Christ on in baptism, you want to confess Him before the entire world, we have that opportunity tonight. We're going to sing a song. You just come sit right up front, and we will talk with you about that. Let's stand and sing a song.